Thanks for listening to this message from Valley Bible Fellowship of Las Vegas. It is our sincere prayer that you are richly blessed through the ministry of the Word. For more information about VBF, visit our website at vbfvegas.org. Now here is Pastor Jim Cruz.
Talking about Fixer Upper, and I've done a couple of renovations in my home, and I normally have to call the repairman after I'm done. It's like, why didn't I do this to begin with? How many remember that TV show from the 90s, Home Improvement? And where Tim used to, try to do all of this fancy stuff and then end up blowing something up or catching something on fire. That's me. All right. But we are in a series, and we are going to be finishing that series up tonight. With the series, we've been talking about renovating our lives with God being our master renovator, because the Bible is full of instructions for us on how to renovate our lives. I mean, the Bible isn't quiet about it. So we've been looking at different aspects of our life. We've looked at renovating our inner life, looked at renovating our relationships, looked at renovating our finances, looked at renovating our attitudes. And tonight, we're going to talk about renovating our health. Now, I know that doesn't sound real exciting, especially if you just gorged out on a buffet at lunchtime. You're like, no, I do not want to talk about health. Well, it is not going to be what you think. But we're going to be talking about health and what God has to say to us about that, because what we're going to show you tonight is your physical health and your spiritual health are really interconnected. You can't separate them. So just like I've been doing, I've been bringing subcontractors. This is what this table is all about. We don't normally, if you haven't been here in a while or if this is your first time with us, this isn't normally how we do our messages. But during the series, I thought, hey, a general contractor always calls in subcontractors that specialize in trades. Well, on our health panel, I have a couple of guys that are my friends that really specialize in health. And so I'm going to introduce them, and then we're going to pray, and we're going to pray over the message, pray over Texas once again. But I'm going to introduce my friends first. To my right here, I want you to give it up for my good friend and health and wellness coach, Jerry Anderson.
All right, thank you.
Now, a little bit about Jerry. He's been training people for over 30 years, right?
Yep, been a personal trainer for over 30 years.
Yeah, yes. And also, he's written a couple of books. He's, matter of fact, working on a new book right now called The Leadership Diet that's going to be out in December.
Yep.
And I plan on having this in the hub when it is out. You just gave me a manuscript of it. I can't wait to read it and be able to be a part of your story in writing a book. But when Jerry first started coming to our church almost 3 years ago, he told me, of his background with health and wellness and exercise and, being a trainer. He told me that he was Mr. Natural Universe circa 1998. What does that mean?
Yeah, actually? Mr. Natural Universe 1998. It means that you built your body without any chemicals. It's all nutrition, it's cardio, it's strength training. So it's a natural way. And when we do our competitions, they actually do polygraph testing. They do urinalysis. So there's no drugs involved. So it's the real thing. So you can't fake it. It's all cause and effect.
Wow. And you turned 59 this year, and you look amazing, bro.
I'll be 59, man. I'm still growing.
Yeah.
Getting bigger.
Matter of fact, you told me your goal at 60 is to become Mr. Natural Olympian.
Yeah, definitely. When I turn 60, I'm going to go for Mr. Natural Olympia, 60 and over. I'm going to win that title. It's going to be easy. And I already know I can beat these guys. I think I should send out an email so they don't show up. It'll be easy for them.
I love your confidence, man. I love it. And, another fact about you, did I mention the CNN? I don't think I mentioned that. He actually does a bunch of segments when CNN begins talking about health, regardless of what you think about CNN. When they start talking about health, they've actually put Jerry Anderson in a lot of their segments when they start talking about health because of his knowledge and training with health issues, especially I mean, I heard a segment that you did on CNN, and man, you were given the word. You were given the Bible. And I watched the CNN lady. She didn't know what to do with you, man. You were giving them Bible verses, and she was just like looking at you.
Yeah, that was an awesome segment. Because CNN really don't, they take secular things. And I said, well, this year I'm going to come on with faith-based. So they said, how to get in shape for the new year, you got to consult your Bible. So everything was biblically based. It was strong. And one of the ways I was able to open that door, I went on Anderson Cooper's show, and I actually leg pressed 1,000 pounds 15 times on the air and was able to convince him to do it. So, I mean, I had to do a little work, too. It wasn't a freebie.
Yeah, so CNN needs the Bible. That's a different sermon. But this is my my friend Jerry. And by the way, I was digging into his personal life a little bit. And I said, give me something that I don't know about you. And he goes, well, I'm still single. And I said, you've never been married before. He goes, no, I haven't found the right woman. I said, well, I think you're going to find the right woman at this church, man. So all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies, all the single ladies. All right.
Patient. There's a hand up right there. Whoa, wait a minute.
I had to harass him because I'm like, yeah, man, you should meet your wife at church. What a better, can you think of a better place to meet your future spouse than at church? Come on,
awesome.
Somebody.
That's the goal.
Right? Yeah, the church is the way to do it, right? So I'll be giving a cell phone number out after service.
Wait a minute.
I'm just kidding.
Just Google me.
Yeah, and Google him, he says. I want you to meet my other friend and doctor friend, I should say, Dr. John Dickey. Dr. Dickey has been in practice in California for the last 8 years. He practices hospital medicine as well as a facility manager. I don't have the script in front of me, but explain kind of what you do. You travel around and kind of set up patient care for like 14 different hospitals.
Yeah, I'm the director over 14 hospitals, and specifically their transitional care, so from the hospital setting to the home, or just in charge of the skilled nursing facility, all the different places that we use, and we're just bolstering and improving the transitioning for all
the over the whole Pacific Coast, including UMC is part of that,
UMC
right?
UMC is part of that.
We just heard a testimony from our friend Chris McBride that had a God story in UMC, so that's kind of a funny coincidence, but... speaking about John, he is a husband to Nicole, who is Pastor Ron's secretary. By the way, Pastor Ron is speaking next Sunday, so mark your calendar for that. And John and Nicole have four children, and John is originally from Indiana, I found out, so he's a Colts fan.
There is no other fans, right?
I've never met somebody that likes the Colts until I met you.
Well, you've just been privileged now.
That's right. But then again, I don't hang out in Indiana, so I'm sure there's a lot more of you that in that neck of the woods. But any other Colt fans here? Yeah?
Oh, well, I see a hand over there.
Yeah? Oh, yeah. Hey, one. All right. Cool.
Instant kindred spirit.
All right. All right. So we have a few here. And you also like to cook.
Yes. I do most of the cooking in our house. So.
Wow. And I told you not to share that with my wife because she wants me to do most of the cooking. And neither one of us like to cook, so we'll just come to your house for dinner, all right?
Sure.
All right? But this is my panel. We're going to be getting to some questions here in a few minutes. So I'm just going to take some time. We're going to pray as we open God's Word of what He has to say to us about our health. And we're going to pray for Texas in Louisiana as well. So let's pray. Father, we thank You that every time we get together in a meeting like this, God, You show up and You change lives. So we ask that Your Holy Spirit would just be present with us, would be speaking to us. Lord, use tonight to confirm some things that You've already been whispering in our hearts. I pray that God, when we leave this place, we will know that we had a divine encounter with the living God. So use me, anoint Jerry, anoint John as we get into some of these questions and go over some of these answers. And God, tonight corporately, we lift up that whole southeast region of Texas and Louisiana, that whole Gulf Coast. We pray, God, for just a pouring out of Your Spirit of grace and mercy as they recover and as they go back to their homes and they grieve the loss of loved ones, God, we pray that your hand would be upon that region, God, and raise the church up in that area, God, to be that light in the midst of such darkness. And God, continue to show us as a church how we might partner with that region and be an answer to their prayers, God, and to live out the love for that region, God. And so we thank you in advance for how you're going to just continue to anoint that area and how you're going to anoint our message tonight. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, I want to kind of tell you on the front end, there's some of you that are going to push back on this message because you're going to say, what does health have to do with coming to church? I came to learn about God, not to learn about taking care of my body. Now, that's that first pushback. And I would say the scripture sort of kind of agrees with you. And by that, let me take you to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says this, training the body helps a little, but godly living helps in how many ways? In every way, godly living has the promise of life now and in the world to come. In other words, you can't take your physical body with you when you die. But you will take your spirit with you when you die. Your spirit is eternal. Your body is temporal. So, in other words, you should be focusing more on your godly life than anything. And I would propose to you that the more you focus on your godly life and get that in order with God, the better off you're going to be physically. Because your godly life will always invade your physical life. It will always invade it. It will always intersect it. And a lot of people miss that. But catch what this verse is saying. It's saying training the body helps a little. In other words, it's still helpful. Like, don't miss out. Don't focus on the end that you missed the beginning here. That Paul is saying there is something to be said for training up your body. Now, I was having breakfast with my dad a couple of weeks ago. My dad turns 80 this year. My dad has some health issues that he battles and deals with, and we happened to be going to breakfast with his brother, my uncle, and his sister, my aunt, and we're all going to breakfast together, and here I am, you know, this young buck, you know, with all of these guys that are in their 80s, you know, my Uncle Paul is 81, and my Uncle Paul was getting in the car, and he said, Jimmy, because they love calling me Jimmy, don't ever get old, whatever you do, and I said, Uncle Paul, that's inevitable, my friend. We are all going to get old. But what I heard him say is when you get older, life gets tougher because you don't have your health like you used to. But see, I learned something years ago that the way you take care of your health now is going to impact the future self that you are in 5 to 10 to 20 years from now. And a lot of us don't think about that because we just are used to thinking about the here and the now. So how you're taking care of yourself today may not affect you today, but you're going to see the results, I guarantee you, in 10, 15, 20 years from now, which I believe is a good tweetable moment. If you like to tweet, tweet this. Take care of your body in such a way that your future self will thank you for later. You know this is true. Like some of you, if you could get in a time capsule and go back 20 years ago and warn the younger version of yourself, you would do it. You know you would. You'd be like, yep, I know two things. Right now, I would put the little, you know, I'd get in the DeLorean and I would set the little clock and I know right the place and time I would be and I'd get in my own face and say, stop it. Don't go there. Don't marry him. You know, Don't eat that, you know, exercise more or whatever. There's things that we know if we could go back in time and change and make a better, wiser decision, we would. That's what I'm saying here. There's a way that God wants us to live so that when we get older, we may not have to struggle as much as we would if we just continue to live however we want to live. So your spiritual life does impact your physical life. I want to give you three reasons real briefly this morning before I turn it over to the panel of why it's important to take care of your bodies. So just write these notes down and just you can follow along with me. But number one, is it honors God. It honors God. When you take care of your body, it actually honors God. Let me give you some scriptures to kind of back up what I'm saying. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your what, church? Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, set apart, that word means, and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives in you? If anyone destroy God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is sacred and you are that temple. Strong. Let's go to chapter 6. He continues thinking this way as he's writing to the Corinthian church. He says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who's in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price, the price of the cross at Calvary that Jesus died on. Therefore, honor God with what? Your body. Honor God with your body. What Paul is saying here is God created your body. Jesus died for your body. And the Holy Spirit lives in your body. So honor God with your body. And you could do it. Now you might push back and say, well, wait a minute. He's talking about sexual immorality there. Pastor, talk about this in context. And I will agree with you on that. But it's even much deeper than that. What he's really saying here is that your body doesn't belong to you as a follower of Jesus. Your body belongs to God. It's not yours to make decisions with. In other words, if I give you some property and say, take care of my property, you're not going to take care of that property like it's yours. You're going to take care of that property like it belongs to me. And in the same way, your body's not your own because it belongs to God. Number two, and this is super important. I'll put that up there. It potentially saves you from health problems. So when you take care of your body, there are things that are in this world that can hit you and that can really take you out. There was a study I was reading about this last week, and I have a slide. And the slide is really interesting, if you guys have that slide. The top two killers in our country right now are heart disease and cancer. Now, for years, heart disease stood as the number one cause of death among Americans. I don't know if you knew that or not. The number one cause of death until recent times. Matter of fact, Dr. John Dickey here said that in 2013, cancer has now surpassed heart disease as the number one killer of Americans. Interesting. But what's so sad about this is that a lot of these things are preventable. In other words, if we were more proactive in our living, then a lot of the diseases that are being, you know, inflicted upon men and women, families, wouldn't be there. Let me give you a couple of scriptures. In Exodus chapter 15, verse 26, God says to them, if you listen carefully to the Lord, your God, and do what is right in his eyes, if you pay attention to his commands and keep all his decrees, I will not bring on you any of the diseases I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals you. God heals us. And a lot of times God heals us by keeping us from other diseases simply because we're following directions. And do you know the Bible is full of directions on how we are to take care of our bodies? For fun, you should just read Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Those books of the Bible that you don't like to read because you're like, there's a weird stuff in there. You know what? There's dietary laws in there, I believe, even though it's Old Testament, they're still applicable for our health today. The human body hasn't changed. So the same decrees that he's giving us on dietary laws in the Old Testament, why would they not apply to us? Say, well, I'm not under the law anymore, but you're still under the sow and reap law. The same consequences there. Yeah, the difference now is when you die early death, you get to go to heaven. But you may still die an early death because you didn't take care of your bodies correctly, because you didn't listen to how God says that you should eat. Let's go to Deuteronomy 6:24. And the Lord our God commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear him so he can continue to bless us and to preserve our lives as he has done to this day. So the commandments help preserve our lives, our physical lives, the commandments when we follow them. And then Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1, 2, and 8. My son, do not forget my teachings, but keep my commandments in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. This will bring health to what, church? To your body and nourishment to your bones. Now see, here's the idea that the word has given us. God has given us commandments. And he says, abide by these, keep these, follow these commandments. Now, the cool thing, and we read about this in Jeremiah, that the Lord has now written the law in our hearts through the Holy Spirit living in us. In other words, now God gets to speak to us in that personal relationship that Chris was attesting to in his testimony. That God, in this personal relationship, whispers to our hearts through the Holy Spirit living inside of us. So now the commandments aren't just in the Bible, what we read in the Bible. The commandments are the Holy Spirit saying, hey, that's not healthy for you. I'll never forget when I was 19, I had just fully come to Christ. Like, I fully surrendered my life to God. I was one of those Christians that made a decision, but I never really developed that relationship. For like 4 years, I was like halfway in God and halfway in the world. Have you ever been there? And it was when I was 19 that I made that decision that I'm going all in. And one of the first things I really felt God started talking to me about was my diet. I was drinking Pepsis every day. And I love Pepsis. But I really felt like God was telling me to give up Pepsis. And I'm a young man. I'm not feeling any kind of negative effect of drinking Pepsis. I mean, matter of fact, you know, on a hot day like today, man, there was nothing better than a Pepsi, you know, poured on some ice. Some of you are like, oh, yeah, it sounds so good right now. I mean, I lived, like, I was obsessed. I had to have one every day. And the Lord's like, nope, that's not good for you. So I stopped drinking Pepsis. I started drinking a lot more water. And then things like that have helped me throughout the years with my health, just listening to God whispering to me. One of the things that he started whispering to me about 5 years ago, I had an older brother that was diagnosed with skin cancer, melanoma. And he had a big piece cut out of his skin. It was a big ordeal. It was real scary for him. And of course, you know, we grew up in an era that, you know, our parents just let us outside to play all day in the summer sun, right? And matter of fact, they were laying out putting baby oil on. How many remember those days? Yeah, we were like, hey, you know, we weren't sun tanning. We were cooking. We were cooking our bodies. And we didn't know that at the time. And so I felt this conviction 5 years ago, start going to the dermatologist yearly to have them start checking your moles. I've now had about 5 moles removed from my body that looked suspicious. And I really think that listening to the Holy Spirit's convictions, that God is trying to preserve me from going through unnecessary heartache or headache when it comes to my health. Now, let me tell you, not all things can be preventable. Sometimes sickness comes at us, even though we've taken care of our bodies and things, you know, are normal, we're healthy people. Sometimes sickness just happens because we live in a broken world. But so much of it, gang, is so preventable if we simply just start listening to God more and those little nudges that he's telling us and going back in even the Old Testament, reviewing some of the dietary laws that were given to us back in books like Leviticus and Deuteronomy. Now, here's the third point, and this is important for you to understand, that it gives you a platform to minister to others. God has a platform for you to minister to other people, just like Chris in the testimony video was able to minister to that lady. When you are living out a disciplined life, God gives you a platform to minister to other people that are living an undisciplined life. But how are you going to be able to minister to somebody if you're undisciplined yourself? It's going to be difficult, right? You know, in the book of Daniel chapter 1, there were these 4 teenagers, and they were taking captive in the land of Babylon, and the Babylonians wanted to fatten these kids up and make them, you know, these laborers for them, and there was these skinny kids, and these teenagers kind of took a stand, and they said, hey, the way you want us to eat is not good for our religion and with our relationship with God, so, you know, we don't want to eat that way. And they said, no, you have to eat this way. This is the way of the Babylonians. And they said, let's do this. Give us 10 days, and we'll keep our diet, and let these other guys do the diet that you want them to, and we'll see who's stronger. Well, after the 10 days, after living on vegetables and all of the ways that the young Jewish teens were being raised on with their health, they actually outpowered these other ones that were living on the Babylonian diet. And so after that, they were promoted. They were given these honorable jobs in the kingdom because of their ability to be healthy and to be strong the way they were. See, when your health is there, you have a platform to be able to speak into the lives of other people that aren't so healthy. Let me give you another scripture that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 9. Write this down. It says, I discipline my body like an athlete. Have you ever seen an athlete work out and prepare? I mean, they are working hard, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Now, when Paul uses this word disqualified, he's not talking about his eternal salvation, like he's going to do something and lose his salvation. No, he's talking about his platform to minister to other people. He's saying, if I can't show discipline in my own life, how am I going to have a platform to minister the gospel to other people? They're going to look at me and say, how can you minister to me? You don't even have your own life together. He says, the more discipline I am living my life in my body, the more I'm able to minister to others. And I believe this is a big reason why many churches are silent about talking on health. They're silent about it. And there's two reasons, I believe. Number one, so many people could care less about it until they have a problem. And as soon as they have a problem, I know it becomes a church problem because they're up here getting prayed like, hey, I never worried about my health until I found out that my health is gone. And now I need a miracle. So now, you know, the spiritual life and the physical life, they intersect in those moments. So a lot of times people don't want to hear it. But the second part, and this is really disturbing, there are a lot of ministers preaching in pulpits that aren't living disciplined lives themselves. So how are they going to be able to get up and talk about health when their health is out of control? So I think that's why a lot of times the church is not being taught properly about renovating our health according to how God wants us to be living our lives. God wants you to have a platform of ministry. Besides that, I mean, think about it. If you're living undisciplined, chances are you're going to probably have some ailment happen. Maybe you're not going to be able to have the energy levels like you have when you're healthy. And now you're not going to feel like going out and ministering. Say the Holy Spirit says, hey, I want you to go out and do this outreach and minister to the people. And you're like, but, you know, I'm achy and I'm tired and I don't have any energy. And all of these factors are there. Now you are being prevented from doing what God wants you to do because your body's not cooperating with what the Holy Spirit is wanting your body to do. Does that make sense? I mean, these are just three little reasons why that we should be taking care of our bodies. But let me turn to the panel as we just have a few minutes tonight. And Jerry, with your extensive background with fitness, obviously as a follower of Jesus, how did becoming a Christian, how did following Jesus affect you as far as taking care of your body?
I mean, that's critical. But let's give Pastor Jim a big round of applause. That's a great sermon.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
We had three services, one, two. But this sermon that he just presented to you to receive this information.
It's the best one.
I mean, beyond.
You guys get the best of me.
You got the best one.
I went home and took a nap.
And he ministered to me, too, because the revelation and the wisdom that he just delivered is incredible. And if you just take that in and utilize that, it's going to transform your life completely. But like you said, your life and your discipline is your testimony for people who don't know what's going on in your life. Because I see it all the time at the gym. Guys ask me, say, Jerry, how do I build my biceps? How do I build my triceps? And I start telling them, they say, hey, what's that stuff inside of you? I want some of that. So that's the foundation. It's the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. So, you know, like 3 John 1:2 says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." So we have to implement the Word of God into our lives, because that is really a part of our testimony. It's huge.
Now, what about the, you were telling me about a pastor one time that was kind of trying to argue with you about, you know, not spending as much time exercising because, you know, of that verse that I gave in 1 Timothy. You had a funny story.
Right. 1 Timothy 4:8, a pastor, I was at a pastor conference. He said, "Jerry, exercise is not that important, because I read that it said physical training profits a man a little, but godly training profits you for now and forever." And I said, "Pastor, when you were exercising all the time, how much did you weigh?" He said, 185. I said, "What do you weigh now?" He said, 235. I said, "When you were exercising, did you have high blood pressure?" He said, "No." I said, "Do you have high blood pressure now?" He said, "Yes." I said, "When you were exercising, did you have high cholesterol?" He said, "No." I said, "Do you have high cholesterol now?" He said, "Yes." He stopped me in the middle of the question and said, "Jerry, exercise was profiting me more than I thought." And it applies to all of us. We need to realize the value. Let me share this with you. I was speaking at a church, and I was, this lady was sitting like in the third row, and she was, every time I was sharing a biblical health principle with the group, I could see her getting more emotional and emotional and emotional. And I started praying. I'm like, "Lord, I don't know what's going on, but give me something for her." She broke out in full tears crying. And I stopped the presentation. I said, "What's going on with you? Let's pray for you." And she said, "You know what? I spent my entire life in church, never worked on my body. All I did was work on my spirit." And she weighed like 350 pounds, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and a diabetic. See, you can't let one side go and let the other side grow. It's not going to work. So they have to come together, which is, this message is so powerful. So don't neglect your bodies for your spirit, because you cannot do God's work without your body. It's an impossibility.
John, being a medical doctor, I mean, you see these statistics with heart disease, cancer. Another big one that I didn't talk about yet is diabetes, where so many, I think they predict by 2050, one in three Americans is going to have diabetes. And that's just crazy. Like, what do you think the cause of all of these sicknesses are? Like, why have we seen such an increase, especially with cancer? I mean, cancer has tripled in the last 60 years within our country.
You know, it's interesting. You know, as a lot of it would go back to preventable things. We actually, if you look at the research, and I'm just quoting from an article here, it's estimated that 50% of cancer is preventable. So that's what they are saying. That's a lot. 50% of these cancers are preventable. They even say that, go to the point that here's some big things they've studied that have a direct correlation to decreasing your risk of getting cancer is smoking, alcohol, diets low in fruit and vegetables, exercise, excess weight, inactivity, and unsafe sex, and urban air pollution. Those are things that are preventable things to prevent cancer. And speaking of the diabetes, we are living more and more a sedentary life. We're not exercising. We're not getting out. We're eating worse and worse. You know, if you look at that graph, you notice that cancer goes up, and even heart disease goes up. In the 50s, you see that starts going up. That's when the introduction of fast food, all the different preservative foods, all the foods started coming in around about that time.
And television, too.
And television, people
television
became...
They
came in the 50s. They started really focusing on TV and not getting out. All these things, you can really go back. It makes sense that we've changed our way how we live. And that's why we're now gaining more weight. We're more morbidly obese as a society. And it's directly correlated. Your weight and how you are fit and your body frame and how much weight you're gaining directly correlates to cancer risk, to diabetes, to heart disease, all these things. So
what kind of foods should we be eating more of to kind of maintain a healthier body?
So I do want to speak to this. There's a million diet fads out there. Everybody's seen them all. They're all out there. And that's what they are. They're fads. They come and go. They, like, if you like it, you do it, and then they go, and then you get another one, and you just keep jumping from one to one. And you never can really keep them. You need a lifestyle change. And what that really means is that you need to eat well-balanced food, and you need to eat food that is high in fruit and vegetables. You notice that that's one of the things that Americans, we don't eat a lot of fruit and vegetables. There's directly diseases in Asia which do eat a lot of fruit and vegetables that they don't have, that when they come here and start eating our diet, they get these diseases that we have. It's directly correlated. So encourage the high fruit and the high veggies. Cut out the carbs that are like the pizzas, the cakes, KFC that's right there. I mean, those things you got.
That food tastes good.
It does. But
why can't the healthy food taste as good as the unhealthy food? That's what I want to know. That's my question to God when I get to heaven.
I don't know if I can tell you that why it tastes any better, but you know what? You really do need to. It's about balance and keeping balance in your life. You know, you're talking about the body and the spirit. There's a balance. God given us both. We require a body to be a ministry. If we can't take care of our body and give it balance and not just go, I'm just going to focus on this. I grew up like that. You know, focus on the spirit. Don't worry about the body. And don't worry about the body. Focus on the spirit. That's what you really do. And I really appreciate it. My father and all that, but he's now high blood pressure, cholesterol, diabetes, everything else. It limits sleep apnea because of the weight. All these things that happened to him, it limits him on his ability to be effective now because he neglected that. That's what we're all promoting is that you got to focus on both and you got to have a balance in your life. You got to cut that stuff out in moderation at most and really focus on the carbs, which are the fruit and veggies that are very good for you. Good, what we call glycemic index. It doesn't have the sugar to skyrocket in your body and it helps you lose that weight. You can lose that weight and then also keep your metabolism going up further. You need to eat the small meals throughout the day. And make sure that you're hitting those key carbohydrates we're looking for. So
Jerry, with your extensive fitness background, what you know, somebody that maybe knows that they're struggling with obesity, and they struggle, maybe they know that they have an eating issue with as far as eating too much. What would you recommend to them to kind of start some kind of program or exercise that can kind of start getting them moving in that direction?
Well, nutritionally, I recommend at least 3 to 5 servings of fruit and vegetables and grains a day. And that diet is in Genesis 1:29. I'll give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. That should be the foundation of our diet. So that'll keep you full in the glycemic index and controls your blood sugar level, which is very important. Then you cannot overeat because you're focusing more on fiber and just taking calories in. Because my thing is, real food has fiber. If it doesn't have fiber, it's not real food. So you have to really watch that. Then if you're going to lose weight, focus on losing 0.5 pound to 1 pound of fat a week. So if you lose 0.5 pound a week for the whole year, that's 26 pounds. You lose 1 pound, that's 52 pounds. That's 5 to 10 inches off your waistline. Voila, you're there. So it's very important to just take your time and don't try to overdo it. So most people, they just put themselves in a bad position. And one of the things like fad diets, one of the things I always tell people is, the reason they can't offer me the fad diet because I already have what they're promising. So the only way you can eliminate yourself from the list is to get what they're promising. Then the promise is not valid anymore. So the reason we're not following our programs because we don't have what they're promising, but you have to get it by following these basic principles.
So what about exercise? You know, as a trainer, I mean, obviously you believe in weightlifting. And cardiovascular exercise, like, you know, treadmills or ellipticals or just walking. What would you recommend to somebody, you know, to get them on a cardio program to start burning those calories?
Well, I recommend just take 10,000 steps a day. Don't try to overdo it. Start slowly. Don't try to push it too much. And the key is do less than what you want to, because you can always add to it, but you can't take away, which is very important. And then with strength training, you should do that at least 2 to 3 times a week because your muscle mass is your engine. So when you lose the muscle mass, then you don't have the calorie burning capacity, and that is your metabolism. So a lot of people do that, and all of a sudden they end up with skinny fat, low muscle, low weight, high fat.
And I learned a little secret too, just and again, you have to be safe, ladies, but I like to park as far out as I can in the parking lot because I know that that's more steps to get to the front door, especially when it's hot like this. I'm burning more calories because it's 130 degrees outside. But also, the takeaway is I don't have somebody dinging my door when they're opening their door because I'm the only car out there. So I do that, and then if I'm staying up like in a hotel or whatever and I'm on like the 4th or 5th floor, I don't take the elevator. I'll take the stairs. And that helps get to those steps, that 10,000 step count a day.
Yeah, it's very important. Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the creature is in the blood. When you exercise, you increase blood flow and you reduce the waste. I remember a guy telling me his dad was in a convalescent home, and he had been on bed rest for 2 years, and he had a uric acid sore on his leg, and he didn't move, and it wouldn't go away, and he didn't think the treatment was very good. So he got mad, took his dad out of the house, out of the hospital, and took him home, had him to walk up and down the stairs every day for 7 days, and then that uric acid sore went away. Because when you increase the blood flow, you increase the fresh oxygen nutrients to the cells, you remove the waste from the cells. That happens to all of us, even if you're not on bed rest. So exercise is critical in rejuvenating your cells. Critical.
So, John, a lot of people, they're nervous to go to the doctor. Either they think that you're going to bite them, or they're afraid you're going to give them bad news, and so it's better to live in this make-believe land that nothing's wrong with them than to hear a doctor give them bad news. So a lot of people just avoid going to the doctor, you know, altogether. So what would your recommendation be for somebody? When is the right time to go see a doctor?
Well, that's definitely a problem. We see many, many people who wait and wait and wait and wait, and then when they finally are crashing and burning, they come to the doctors and say, fix me. You had 20 years where your body you neglected, and then they ask you to fix them. It's much more difficult for us to do that. If we catch things early, a lot of these are preventable things, like 50% of the cancers are preventable. High blood pressure, a lot of that could be preventable. Some of it's genetic. We understand that. And even cholesterol, same thing. But you can look at it, and we got to prevent these things. We can get into the doctor and see them. We don't bite, like I said. I have never bitten anybody. I'll put it out there. But once a year, it would be good to go see your doctor if you're under 40. If you're after 40, you should start seeing at least once, maybe even twice, but then you need to listen to the doctor when you should come back, depending on what diseases you have. And the idea, you might go in, they do some blood work, you look great, that's okay. Next time you go in, if they start to find something, they can start working on it now with lifestyle changes and or treatment if needed. But if you catch it early, you can prevent a lot of hardship in the long run.
So, Jerry, we're already out of time, man. So give us a final word, a final thought to leave these guys with.
For me, with the body of Christ, we really need to renew our mind about health. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So you got to change your thought process about health and wellness. Instead of just focusing on your spirit, you need to bring them up together. It's very important. So that's really the missing link to Christianity. We're not taking care of our health, and it's really it's not a good testimony. And we could do better than that. I know we can.
Amen to that. And John, what would your final word be?
So lifestyle changes is not something you jump into the deep end and say, swim. It doesn't usually work too well in teaching people how to swim. I know some people have done that. But it's one step at a time. So take those one choices. When you make from trying to get from point A to point B, you take one step, and then you take another step. And that's when in your life, look at your life and what you're doing, take one step, and then take the next step. And you can make the small steps will equal the big steps and the lifestyle changes you're looking for.
And you yourself, I mean, being a busy doctor, you found yourself kind of getting into a position where you weren't really watching your own body and started noticing some things, and you got it under order. Tell us about that. What happened there?
Yeah, a year ago, I was about 30 pounds more than I am now. My parents, like I said, is diabetic and overweight, and I was getting overweight. I was skipping meals. I had really busy schedule. It's probably as busy as you can think of, very long days. But I always had an excuse for it. I'm just like you. The physicians are just like you. We, like the shoemaker's kids, go shoeless. That's very common. We just don't take care of ourselves. We take care of everybody else. I had to take that under control, and I had to do a lifestyle change. And so I started eating more veggies and fruit, cut out the carbs that were really killing me, literally. And then I started doing the small, frequent meals throughout the day, get my metabolism going. And then the weight came off at a very good pace. You're looking at 1 pound a week. That's probably all you want to lose. You're not wanting to lose the 4 pounds in a week. Woo! That weight doesn't stay off. And you'll gain that right back. Your body needs to adjust to the new weights. It will get used to that. The longer you're in those lower weights, your body gets used to that weight, and it becomes the new metabolism for you. So, yeah.
Thank you guys so much. Would you mind sticking around maybe for a few minutes after service? They're going to be over here. So If you have specific questions for these guys, they're going to be available. John didn't bring a stethoscope, so he can't give you an examination tonight. All right. But if you have specific questions you want to ask these guys, they'll be available. So did you like this series, this format? Did you guys really enjoy that? So remember, next week we're going to kind of go back to normal. Pastor Ron will be here. And then the following week after that, we start a brand new series called Love Does. We're excited about it. So let's just close our time with a word of prayer and just bow your heads, close your eyes. Father, I thank you, God, for all the things that you've spoken to us during the series. And God, I know one thing for sure is you want to renovate our lives. And you've already stepped out of heaven towards us to make that possible. And now it's up to us if we want to take a step towards you. And I know there's some people here, they've been listening. They've been maybe soaking it all in. And as they examine their own lives, they understand that their lives are a mess. Their lives are run down and worn out like an old house that hasn't been taken care of. God, I pray that you would show each of these people tonight that you love them. And you're wanting them more than anything to take a step, take that step towards you so you can begin the renovation for their life tonight. Folks, if you are feeling a pull by God to take that step towards him, to allowing him to have that personal relationship with you, there's a prayer that you pray that begins the renovation process, where the old things pass away and behold, all things become new again. And maybe you haven't made that decision. Maybe you made that decision years ago, but you've been running from it. But tonight you found yourself back at church. And I just want to take a quick moment. It's been a long service. I know we had a lot of things to talk about, but I don't want to miss this opportunity. If you're here tonight and you know you need to take a step toward God, as we dismiss, I want you to come up here to this prayer team up front and say, you know what, I want to make that step toward God tonight. They're going to pray for you. But you know what, I know there's some of you right now that you are battling some health issues. Maybe you wish this message came to you 10 years ago, and maybe you wouldn't be in the position you're in now. But you know what? The cool thing is, we have a God that heals. I have watched God heal people right in front of my own eyes. So just because you have an ailment doesn't mean you're going to have to live with that ailment forever. Perhaps we're going to pray over you tonight, and God's going to heal you miraculously of that. Let us be able to pray for you if that's you. So come up here. Whether you want to make that step toward God to let him renovate your life, maybe you need that healing prayer prayed over your health, I invite you, as we dismiss, to come up here and get prayer. Father, for the rest of us, God, may we take all of these things that we've learned over the last several weeks from your word and apply them and to keep those commandments and to change our life so that we could see you renovate us for us to become who you I've always wanted us to be. And we thank you in advance for how you're going to do that in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. God bless you guys. Hey, you are dismissed.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message has ministered to your heart. If you live in the Las Vegas area, we invite you to join us at Valley Bible Fellowship of Las Vegas for worship, Bible study, fellowship, and more. We are located at 4500 West Sahara Ave, just east of Decatur Boulevard. We'd love to hear from you and pray for you in anything you may be going through right now. Reach us by phone at 702-254-2251 or visit our website at vbfvegas.org.